Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson, especially verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. This is the text. So exactly what are we talking about here? We look at the Old Testament lesson, and as we read through it, beginning back in verse 14, we hear about the Lord who has taken away the judgments against you. And who is that? That would be Jesus. We hear about, in verse 15, the King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. And think of Palm Sunday with Jesus riding into the city and hailed as Son of David and King of Kings. And they waved the palm branches and they sang the praises. The King of Israel is in your midst. And who is this King of Israel? Why, he is the Lord. And again it keeps on pointing to Jesus Christ. Fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. Again, pointing to Jesus. And then, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. And Jesus rejoices over his people. He celebrates. He rejoices in our salvation. Think, if you will, it's in Luke 15. Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep, and then of the lost coin. And in those parables, he finishes up by saying, there will be more joy in the presence of God, or more joy among the angels of God over one sinner who repents than over 99 who need no repentance. And then it goes on into the parable of the prodigal son. And as the prodigal son comes home, what happens? His father runs and greets him, hugs him, kisses him, puts a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, brings out a nice robe, and they begin to feast. And the older brother comes near the house, and what does he hear? In the words of Jesus, he hears music and dancing. And so the Bible tells us, very clearly tells us, of the celebration that goes on among the angels and in the presence of God, the celebration over our salvation. But this is that last line of verse 17. He will exult over you with loud singing. Who is going to exult over us? There's only one person that could be referring to, and that is Jesus. And by the way, we know that Jesus sang. There in the upper room at the Passover, it says they sang a hymn. He didn't sit back and say, okay, you guys sing. It was the hymnody, the songs, the praise that went with the worship that God's people had celebrated for centuries. And you begin to have this picture then of Jesus singing. But this text takes us into a whole new territories. And when is it that he gathers us all together? Well, that would be Judgment Day. That would be the last day, the glorious day, the day when all the dead are raised and the church is gathered there in the presence of Jesus, and he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he says, welcome, faithful servant. Welcome into the joy of your master. Ah, the joy of your master. But this is a part about Judgment Day. Almost 30 years reading this text, every 3 years it came around in the cycle, and never noticing this. How did I never notice this? Till 2009. He will exult over you with loud singing. Sometime on Judgment Day, and this is one of the things that I am eagerly waiting for, sometime on that day, In the middle of all of the celebration of living forever, there will be Jesus exulting over his church and celebrating with loud singing. Jesus himself rejoicing over us. Okay. You ever seen that picture? You see it often enough at funeral homes, at funerals. It's a picture of somebody, their back is to you, and they're entering into heaven, and there's Jesus greeting them with a big hug. And it's a reminder that God rejoices to have us living forever. There's a lot of tenderness in that and a lot of emotion and feeling in that. And frankly, that happens to convey emotions and feelings in God, emotions and feelings in Jesus. Did Jesus have feelings? Did Jesus have emotions? You can tell me. You know this. You know what the shortest verse of the Bible is. That's one emotion. Outside of Lazarus' tomb, what is that shortest verse of the Bible? Jesus wept. There was another time when it says Jesus, as his disciples came back, he said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little babes." He rejoiced. He celebrated in salvation, and this is important for us to know. It's important for us to know because all of the celebration, all of the singing that happens among the angels, who'd they learn it from? Only one person they could have learned it from, and that is God. Book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. You find the angels and then all creation singing and celebrating. And they're singing praise to the Lamb. And why they're singing praise to him is because with your blood you redeemed men from every tribe and people and nation and language. See what they're singing and celebrating about? It's our salvation, our being redeemed, our living forever with God. And then you go right to the end of the Bible. Well, the next last chapter, Revelation 21. A voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and he will be their God, and he will dwell with them." And it sounds as if God is just absolutely excited and thrilled by this. It teaches us something. It teaches us about the heart of God. It teaches us about some of the deep things. You realize this is what God has been waiting for the whole time? For that day when we'll be with him and he'll have all of his people gathered together. And you think we'll be happy? Yeah, we'll be happy. You think the angels will be happy? They'll be singing and celebrating, but more than anyone else, he will exult over you with loud singing. Or we've shared this verse before, Hebrews chapter 12. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him that on that day he will be able to celebrate and sing for joy, and we will be with him, and we will be sharing the joy of our Master. And it's quite the amazing thing to realize that part of the celebration of Judgment Day, part of the doings on Judgment Day, is when God says, Now it's my time. My time to sing, my time to celebrate over you. What do we do at that point? I think what we'll be doing is we'll just be keeping quiet and just taking it all in, realizing how deeply we have been loved. Again, why this is so important is it points us to the cross. It points us to the Savior being willing to pay that amazing price to do the plan of salvation. This is all the prophecies. All of what happened in the temple was pointing to it. This is why the manger. This is why the plan of salvation includes Jesus being born, being one of us. The manger is all about God bursting into our world with a different kind of religion, prophecy, scripture, relationship. It's not God coming how everybody expected him to come into this world with judgment and laws and commandments and demands that we shape up. It is God deciding to be so close to us that he came as one of us. To be laid in a manger, to have fingers and toes, and to need to be carried and fed, to need to be warmed and watched over. One of us. And then, pop quiz, but you know the answer already. Pop quiz. In a church, is Jesus the one that we worship, or is he the one who leads our worship? And you're shaking your head saying, yes, yes, exactly, yes. Because he's God and man. He's the one we worship, but he's one of us leading the worship, celebrating and rejoicing in the goodness of God. In the goodness of God, in the goodness of salvation, in the goodness of forgiveness of sins, in the goodness of that plan of salvation that's not a plan where all of these things are going to be formally done and be ratified and signed and legally in place. It's a plan of salvation that involves a manger and shepherds and angels and a plan of salvation that includes healing the sick, touching the lepers, preaching to the poor, calling his friend Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Inviting Peter out on the lake to get out of the boat. Lord, command me to come to you. If it's you, come. And Peter walks on water. And it becomes the pattern of God pouring out everything he can in blessings and joy and a fellowship with us. To be one of us and to make us his friends, his brothers, his sisters, sons and daughters of God, heirs of heaven, sharing in eternal life. But again, a plan of salvation that, you didn't deserve it. I didn't either. We were not worthy of it. what we were worthy of is something completely different from that. But there's Jesus, who doesn't simply say, well, I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to be one of them and share salvation and share the joy, share eternal life, share singing. So, final thought. That verse might actually be why so much of Christian song and hymnody is about singing about Jesus. Because it makes sense to sing about the one who is going to sing about us. And I guess you could call it a romance, a really good friendship. But how sweet it is to have this kind of a Savior. Never forget that there's so much more than just, oh, I'm saved. So much more. It is the relationship with God and the joy and the blessing that is never going to end. That's what we're invited into. In Jesus' name, amen.